What's going on, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Blue Jays, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. Of course, I want to thank all listeners who make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. Of course, you can find me on Twitter at Weiss Sports, where I appear on Sportsnet, ESPN's The Undefeated, the Toronto Star, as well as play-by-play broadcasting for Saga 960 AM Radio. Of course, the Locked On Blue Jays podcast is free and available wherever you get your podcasts, including Spotify, Stitcher, and Apple Podcasts. Make sure to like, rate, review, and subscribe.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
On today's show, it is a jam-packed episode. We have a lot to get into as it pertains to your Toronto Blue Jays. But first, I'd like to welcome once again MLB analyst Jen Smith. Jen, welcome to the pod.
Things are happening, Lucas. It's happening.
Everything is happening, as the legendary Bob Cole play-by-play broadcaster once said. But we are, of course, pertaining this to the world of baseball. And as we're recording this, I want to read you, Jen, a tweet that Jeff Passan of ESPN tweeted, just about an hour ago. He tweeted this, and I quote, "The madness is just beginning. This is going to be a whale of a 24 hours. That was a tweet from Jeff Passan.
I like it.
I mean, you know, it's true.
Are special circumstances.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I mean, you know, we've certainly talked about this, about the lockout approaching. That's going to be something that's going to be approaching in a few days. And look, we wonder, Jen, about whether or not teams would spend or teams would not spend or players would not sign. But it's clear that there's a bit of a spending spree happening right now. Over $300 million were spent just Sunday alone. And Jen, one of those deals, and of course, we were going to do a mailbag episode for this one. But, you know, worry not, we are going to get to some of your mailbag questions. But obviously, some breaking news has just come in on this Sunday involving the Blue Jays, most notably Marcus Semien. Marcus Semien, of course, is one of the Blue Jays' top players in 2021. He set a new record for home runs by a second baseman in a single season in the major leagues. He is now a Texas Ranger, Jen. According to Jeff Passan, 7 years, $175 million deal. Of course, that was first reported by Robert Murray, who had that first. So 7 years, $175 million. Marcus Semien is headed to the Texas Rangers, Jen. And of course, the Blue Jays and the Rangers have some history. And I know Blue Jays fans are thinking right now, there's a bit of a rough odor to this bit of news. I know, really bad pun, but wanted to start off with a little bit of throwback to Blue Jays Rangers. But I'm done talking. Jen, your thoughts on the Semien deal?
The man bet on himself and he got paid. Good for him. I think it's incredible to see, first of all, a player take that one-year deal with the intent of putting up numbers that would then set himself up for a payday. And I don't know if we see somebody be quite this successful at it, right? He had an incredible season, Gold Glove, Silver Slugger, third in MVP voting. He, as you said, set the major league home run record by a second baseman, and he got his money. 7 years, $175 million will take him through to his age 38 season. And all I can say really is good for him. The Texas Rangers are, you know, an interesting team. Clearly, they are willing to spend money. And a lot are noting that this is probably not it for them. They're not yet in a position to win. It might take a couple of seasons before they actually get back to the playoffs. They haven't been there since 2016, and we all know what happened in 2016. But how do you turn down 7 years, $175 million? You don't. So I guess we were all wrong on that West Coast thing. Maybe that was not exactly, you know, as much of a decision factor for him as people led it to believe. But, you know, he's going to Texas. He's getting his money. And I am really, really happy for him on that front. It does mean, obviously, that the Blue Jays have some work to do, which we were assuming all along. We had assumed all along that they were not going to be able to re-sign him. And so now that has been made finalized, and the Jays can move on with their bit of business as well.
So two things to that. Ben Nicholson-Smith of Sportsnet tweeting about an hour ago as well that the Blue Jays are being described as, quote, very active right now. I mean, there's, as Ben says, I mean, a lot to think about, right? Starting pitching, more bullpen help, and we'll talk about that coming right up. But now there's an infield need, Jen, and we thought about this as a likely possibility that Marcus Semien would not be with the Toronto Blue Jays this upcoming season. I think the whole notion of being surprised, I mean, I was certainly surprised with Texas because I think we heard about a lot of different teams, Jen, the Giants, the Mariners being in the Semien sweepstakes. But that was all noise, clearly. And clearly the Texas Rangers were able to sort of do this business with Marcus Semien's agent, Scott Boras, without any leaks even getting out there, right? Like, very few people knew about this. So credit to them for not leaking that and getting that bit of business done. Of course, it's going to take some time for Texas, but you have a guy like Marcus Semien, given his intangibles and what we've heard from some of the Blue Jays' younger players, like a Bo Bichette, for example, it's clear that Semien knows how to work and interact with his teammates, especially younger guys, and be a real mentor to them. The second point, I think, too, is, I mean, for sure, I mean, you and I definitely thought that Semien wasn't coming back, and we were right. Not surprised, but I can't help but feel for Blue Jays fans tonight, because clearly a lot of them are upset, rightfully so, because let's face it, Jen, we live in Toronto where there's a lot of players that they stay for a year and then they go, right? I mean, the Toronto Raptors fans are still, you know, dealing with the Kawhi Leonard situation, right? He comes for a year, wins a championship, leaves. You know, Marcus Semien has a great year, he leaves. But I think when you look at this deal, I don't think the Blue Jays are willing to pony up 7 years for Marcus Semien. I mean, even though he's a great player and whatnot, I mean, that's a lot of term for a guy who, again, he had that one great year, but he's 31 years old. So what does that look like years 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? Who knows, right? So I'm not surprised, Jen, but I can't help but feel for Blue Jays fans who are upset, because he was a great player. He was a lot of fun to watch. And I think a lot of Blue Jays fans are going to miss him just because of the great season that he had.
Strictly, I guess, I would imagine the Jays had been willing to go 5 years. I doubt very many teams would have gone 7. And in fact, I would hazard a guess that the Rangers were the only team that went to 7 years. I have no knowledge of that. I'm guessing, right? That was a huge factor in terms of him deciding to sign with the Texas Rangers. And yeah, of course, I'm sure a lot of Jays fans tonight are very disappointed in this news. Again, I do think the news was to be expected in terms of him not actually re-signing with Toronto, but you never really know until it's actually finalized. So, you know, I think it's great what he was able to bring to this team. anything that the young players learned from him, for example, Bo Bichette, anything that they were able to learn from him and take away from the experience of playing with him, as well as his leadership in the clubhouse, will only serve them better, even if he is no longer on the team. But, you know, that is a lot of production that now needs to be replaced if this team is going to continue to contend moving forward.
No doubt. No doubt. And I, you know, you look at the war he had in 2021, 7.3, Jen, 7.3. That's 7 wins above replacement that the Blue Jays are going to need to replace. Now, before we get to break and before we get into some of the mailbag questions, though, where do the Blue Jays go from here? Because again, I mean, we had 2 great guests on the show last week. I really encourage you to listen to those episodes with Josh Goldberg and Nick Ashburn, where we sort of talked about the offseason. That was obviously before a lot of this news was coming down. But it's sort of an interesting point right now where the Jays are at. Where do you go more into the starting pitching side? Do you ride out the infield as currently constructed? I mean, I know people on Twitter right now, a name that's starting to trend is Kevin Biggio, yeah. Right? And rightfully so. Where do you think, you know, in your mind, imagine you're in the front office right now, because again, they have a plan. We all know they have a plan. And I think Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro, I'm confident in what they have up their sleeve. But again, now that the Semien deal has happened and that he's going to Texas, that's a lot of wins to make up. And even more so, Jen, and we've talked about this on the podcast too, you may not even get a guy at the financial efficiency like you did a Marcus Semien last year, which, you know, again, the Jays are going to be willing to spend that. But again, it's something to keep in mind.
Well, the Blue Jays front office doesn't just have a plan. They have multiple plans. If A happens, then they pivot to B. If B happens, they pivot to C, right? They've got a whole bunch of scenarios all mapped out on a big wall that I can only imagine what that wall currently looks like. But yes, they need starting pitching. They need to sign at least one starting pitcher. I would argue that they need to sign 2 and that one of them needs to be a front end of the rotation guy. They obviously need to sign or trade for probably another bullpen piece. They got one this weekend. We are going to talk about that momentarily. And they need at least one infielder. So they either need a third baseman or they need a second baseman. But either which way they go, they need somebody who is going to make up some of that production that they've now lost in losing Marcus Semien, right? Some of that production will hopefully be made up in a healthy George Springer, okay? But that being said, clearly they need to replace that on the infield as well. So I still am looking at the potential for a trade for Jose Ramirez to play third base, in which case I think possibly Biggio and Espinal are sharing time at second. If they were to somehow sign a second baseman, then those two I think might be sharing time at third. To me, that's not exactly ideal on a team that wants to contend and a team that wants to get better. And as Keith Law said when he was on the pod, right, Biggio probably shouldn't have a roster spot on a team that is this good, that is not only contending for a playoff spot, but has World Series aspirations. So we'll see how this goes. But, you know, with the flurry of activity going on right now, you know, they might actually get something done before the deadline, and then we'll see.
No doubt. And we're going to be talking about some of those moves and rumors coming right up after the break. But first, let me talk to you guys about DirecTV. I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle. DirecTV Stream brings you live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. And the best part, there is no annual contract. So stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. All right, we're back. Lucas Weiss, MLB analyst Jen Smith. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Of course, I want to thank all listeners who make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. So, Jen, we open the mailbag up. We do have some mailbag questions. So I know you wanted to start us off with one about potential bullpen stuff.
Yes, Philip Parkinson sent us a question. Should the Jays sign another relief pitcher that has been a closer before in case Jordan is injured or cannot go on back-to-back days or ends up not being the closer due to performance issues? So that was one of our mailbag questions. And of course, one of the pieces of news this weekend is that the Blue Jays signed Yimi Garcia to a 2-year, $11 million contract with a club option.
Yeah, I mean, interesting bit of business for sure. I think, you know, Yimi Garcia is someone that I think, you know, people thought, okay, bullpen piece and someone that, you know, could add to that. I mean, I think if you look at some of the numbers with Yimi Garcia, I mean, 2021 as a whole, you know, 4.21 ERA, you know, when he was with Miami, he had a bit of a better ERA, 3.47. 5.48, though, when he got traded to Houston. And I know some people were saying on Twitter that some of the Houston outings from Yimi Garcia maybe weren't the best. But at the end of the day, Jen, you need bullpen, right? You need relief pitching. And I think if you're the Toronto Blue Jays in this situation, they know that every year bullpen is very different. It's very fickle. I mean, one year someone could be great, other years maybe not so much. And you can't have enough bullpen depth. So at $5.5 million per year for 2 years, they now have someone in Yimi Garcia. And let's be honest, I mean, sure, it may not have been the best numbers, but at least he has that postseason experience. And to me, that's what you want from a pitcher.
Right. And it's not a big contract that they signed him on. He is a late inning reliever, so, you know, he can fill that role as closer if necessary. He had 15 saves and 4 holds last season, you know, and his numbers aren't great, but there are certain things there that are interesting. He's in the 85th percentile for fastball velocity and the 95th percentile for fastball spin. He actually had a bit of an uptick in his velocity last season, which is always a good sign. He has an above average strikeout, walk, whiff, and chase rates. And then, you know, the other thing that is a little interesting too, and if you're thinking in the context of the Rogers Center, he's above average in terms of his hard hit rate. He's in a 61st percentile in terms of his hard hit rate. However, when he does get hit hard, it's not good. He is a bit home run prone. And he is in the 16th percentile, which is quite poor, for slugging, and the 30th percentile for barrels. So it's kind of an interesting dichotomy, right? So how does that sort of play at the Rogers Center? I guess we'll see. You know, he wasn't brought here to be a closer, but he could close if needed. And I think that might be part of what the Blue Jays were thinking by bringing him in and adding him to the bullpen.
Right. And I think, you know, it's one of those things that I just think we're going to have to wait and see. Right. And hopefully for Yimi Garcia, you know, this is someone that can, you know, have an impact. And look, Shai Davini wrote a piece on Sportsnet sort of breaking down the, you know, the the move. And you look, he's going to be with, like you said, Jen, in that Romano Mesa Simber Richards mix. And, the fastball 95th percentile spin rate, I think it's someone, the slider is going to be the primary secondary pitch. But hopefully maybe with working with Pete Walker, he can really bolster that curveball and change up too. So it's not like he can't use it, but, he definitely has those pitches. So I think with Garcia, it will be interesting to see. The one thing, though, Jen, in addition to this, in this piece, was this whole idea of Kevin Gausman, right? And Kevin Gausman, he's been a name that's starting to generate a lot of smoke, which means a lot of fire with a lot of different teams. And of course, the Blue Jays have been involved. And I think it's interesting that you go back to the All-Star game in Denver, and it's in this piece from Shai Davidi. Gausman said that, quote, more than anything, the decision, it's going to come down to comfortability, right? So I just think for me, it's interesting because the Blue Jays attempted to sign Gausman as a free agent last offseason, but he turned down the multi-year deal and he accepted a qualifying offer of $18.9 million to remain with the Giants. So it'll be interesting. Right. I mean, he said, quote, he loves Toronto. He's loved always playing there. It's been a special place in his heart. He made his debut in Toronto. But why don't you, it's one thing to say that, Jen, but it's one thing to sign the contract, right? It's one thing to say, you're a fan of a certain food like sushi, but then you go to a sushi restaurant and there's these different rolls and it's like, oh, maybe not for me, right? So, it's one thing to say, but it's another thing to actually put pen to paper on a contract.
It was an interesting comparison you just made. But you're right. It is absolutely, first of all, a free agent is going to say positive things about a lot of different teams because they don't want to close off their market, right? Let's be honest. If a team is interested in their services, they are certainly going to listen and see what that team has to offer before they close any doors. So I'm sure he has said good things about Toronto. He knows the position that Toronto's in. They need a starting pitcher. They have money to spend. And they are a contending team with a really good young core. And a lot of players would want to sign with a team like Toronto. I'm not saying he does. I'm just saying, right? Like there is a level of attractiveness associated with this team. But ultimately, you're going to sign, all things being equal, you're going to take the money, right? So depending on what the Blue Jays offer versus other teams, who knows where he's going to end up, but he was the subject of several, John Morosi tweets yesterday, I believe it was, who said that Gausman has discussed a multi-year deal with the Jays and that there are other teams involved. He is expected to sign in the next few days, meaning before the deadline, and that 5 years has become increasingly likely. So it'll be really, really interesting because, like you said, he's already turned down an offer from the Jays to take that qualifying offer, and we'll see where he ends up. But I think that that question will be answered within the next 24 to 48 hours.
We're certainly going to be doing an episode, I feel like, on this and where Gausman ends up. I mean, I know I've made it pretty known my affinity towards Gausman. I think he's a really interesting pitcher. And I think if you just add him, Jen, and this might become very old news, the Blue Jays don't sign him, which probably is going to be likely, but you never know. You never know. But just for a moment, the hypothetical, adding a Gausman into a rotation with Barrios, Manoa, then you have Ryu as your fourth starter. I mean, my God, like it is truly something to behold if the Blue Jays could do that or someone else. I mean, I know, Max Scherzer's been a name, but not with the Jays, unfortunately. Yep. I mean, I feel like, Chen, I'm sorry to say, but I feel like he is going to go to the West Coast as much as he would have loved to have seen Max Scherzer in that baby blue. But, yeah, I mean, I just want the Jays to make a move, honestly. Like, the Braves thing was great. It was a great prelude. It was a great appetizer. But I want the main course of this offseason. But I know to be patient.
Absolutely, right? And, we are going to get a flurry of activity over the next 48 hours. And then there will likely be a long waiting period. And then we'll have another flurry of activity. So there ought to be sort of, this very boring part in the middle, but bookended by two very exciting timeframes for all of these teams and all of these players to be signing and making trades and so forth. And yes, I mean, the Jays, again, they need a starting pitcher. They need at least one. Robbie Ray hasn't signed anywhere yet. Haven't really heard very much about him. So whether or not the Jays have made an offer or are interested in some way, like, who knows, because there really hasn't been a lot said there. But they have been linked to Gausman, so we know that discussions have been had. I would assume that an offer has been made, and so we will see. I don't expect the Jays to sign him just because there are quite a few other teams that are out there that are interested in his services, but he would be a great addition, for the Rogers Center. His ground ball rate the past two seasons, I believe, was 41.9%. That was better than Robbie Ray. That was better than Alek Manoah. It was a smidge better than Jose Barrios. So I would love to see him in a Jays uniform. The next 48 hours will tell the tale.
And before that happens, and before we get to some more mailbag questions, we do, though, are going to take a break. And we're going to check in with our friends, Jenna Built Bar. It's here, the best Monday of the year, Cyber Monday. And Built.com is the place to aim your mouse. Get at least 20% off everything delicious and healthy. Yes, that is 20% off site-wide, even bigger discounts on Built Boost, Broth, and Built Swag. A brand new Built Bar flavor has landed just in time for Cyber Monday. Caramel Almond Delight, and it delivers everything it promises. Caramelized chocolate, check. Almonds, check. Delightful double, check. Be sure to get yours before they're gone. 'Tis the season to save and to get your taste buds the gift of Built Bar. Now, how do you get said Built Bar? Well, you go to Built.com for these incredible tasting new bars and 20% off everything. Head to Built.com, enter code LOCK20 before it's too late. That's LOCK20 at Built.com. All right, we're back. Lucas Weiss, MLB analyst Jen Smith. This is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Want to thank all listeners. Make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. Jen, let's end with some mailbag questions.
Okay, so Dave Church wrote in and asked, should Santiago Espinal be a regular next year? And will he be? So should he be? And will he be?
So should he be? No. I mean, I'm a fan of Santiago. I really liked how he ended the 2021 season. But let's face it, the Blue Jays are a little bit thin at third base. If, it would be in a perfect world, they'd have a better third baseman. It's funny you asked that question, Jen, because it's the 7-year anniversary of Josh Donaldson coming to the Blue Jays from Oakland. Now, obviously, Donaldson's, well past what he was, but imagine having like the MVP Josh Donaldson on this Blue Jays team right now. What an incredible year he had. But anyway, so should he be? Probably not. Will he be is an interesting question, right? I mean, certainly probably the Blue Jays are going to explore options. I think Espinal, if everything stays status quo, which I hope not, but that's a possibility, he might be maybe the opening day third base starter. Who knows? I think it's going to be a little bit of a revolving door, particularly if they try to find that, stable third baseman. But I think he's going to be involved. Will he be a starter? Probably not. He might be maybe opening day, but maybe that might not last the whole season. But it's more a wait and see given what the Blue Jays do in the offseason.
Espinal put up good numbers last year. I think he surprised an awful lot of people, both offensively and defensively. 311, 376, 405 with a 115 weighted runs created plus over 92 games is pretty good production from somebody who, you know, really you weren't expecting that from him. So from that standpoint, you know, he won over a lot of Jays fans. And I think that he is going to end up having a regular role next season. I agree with you. I don't think that he should, in the sense that ideally the Blue Jays would upgrade both third base as well as second base. They would sign somebody for third base, and they would also sign somebody for second base to replace Semien. I don't think they're going to get both done. I think they can only do one out of the two. What that ends up being, we'll find out. So I do think Espinal is going to end up having some sort of a regular role next year. Obviously, we know that he can play third base. He's been a shortstop. I would imagine that he could play second base and spend time there. You know, the thing is that the Jays, as we keep saying, because it was what Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro said, this team needs to get better. And so for me, Santiago Espinal is not an everyday player on a contending team that needs to get better over their 91 win season. But I don't think they're going to be able to fill both infield roles, at least not in the offseason. Maybe they add somebody at the trade deadline, who knows? So I do think he's going to end up having some sort of regular role with this team next season, at least at the outset.
Sure. Next question, Jen.
All right. Next question. Along these same lines, what's it going to take to get J-Ram, Jose Ramirez, out of Cleveland? That comes to us from a Twitter user by the name of Blue Jays Faithful.
Wow. I mean, it's funny because I believe it was Nick Bashford who we had on the show. You know, he just, you know, we were talking about Ramirez, and like, this is someone who is one of the best players in baseball, but so understated by it, right? Like, it's not the flashy headline, like, you know, a Mike Trout, Fernando Tatis Jr., other pieces, but he's just a very good player. Now, we have talked about at length about Alejandro Kirk being potentially involved in a potential trade at last year's deadline, which didn't end up happening. But the thing you always got to remember is it may not happen then, but that doesn't mean it never happens at all. And it all depends on the right trade. But look, if Jose Ramirez is going to come to the Jays via trade, we're going to need to give up some pieces. We're going to need to give up probably a Kirk, probably some prospects too, to me, to make something like that viable, because I don't think Cleveland would want to get, you know, fleeced by the Blue Jays, so to speak, right? Like, they would want some major returns. But again, it all depends whether the Blue Jays feel like now is the time to unload some of those prospects or key roster spot players at the moment. I think it's the time. I think we're at a position right now where the Blue Jays are contending to win a championship, but needs to be the right move for the Blue Jays to be successful.
Well, and that trade deadline deal that ended up, you know, not happening involved Kirk plus other major league players and minor league players. None right. of those other players have been named, right? So we have absolutely no idea who Cleveland was asking for. We just know that Kirk was one of them. So I have said multiple times on this podcast that, you know, if you're the Blue Jays, you are circling back to that deal. You're circling back to Cleveland and you are reworking it, or maybe even just agreeing to whatever it was outright, depending on who you're giving up, because I don't know exactly what the holdup was. And part of this actually kind of leads into the next mailbag question. So I'm actually going to read that question and then kind of tie it back to this.
Sure.
The next question also came to us from Philip Parkinson. Given that Gabriel Moreno is at a very high prospect value presently, should he be an untouchable or should he be used as an asset in a trade? So I would say that he should be an untouchable. I think that Blue Jays are going to want to see what they have in him, which then in turn likely makes Alejandro Kirk tradable at this point. And if he was who Cleveland wanted, then you got to revisit that all day, every day, until you get that deal done, depending on what the rest of the cost is, mind you, of course, because they know that they have Danny Jansen and they have Reese McGuire. And then, of course, Gabriel Moreno is waiting in the wings and is expected to make his debut next season.
Gabriel Moreno, like, there's a lot of hype there, and I think rightfully so. And again, we've had a lot of guests on the show chat about Moreno being, you know, one of the top catching prospects in baseball. And I think for the Blue Jays, to me, that question of whether or not he's untouchable or a trade asset, I would argue it's too early for him to be a trade asset at this point. Now, I mean, they did trade Austin Martin yet, right? I mean, they drafted him. They traded him for Jose Barrios. But there were concerns there. I mean, I remember reading and listening to people who obviously had, you know, the front office's ear, and there were some concerns. To me, the Gabriel Moreno thing, like that's real as it can be. Now, again, who knows how it will translate to the big leagues, but if they have someone that could be better than any of the current Blue Jays catchers that they do have, that's something that you got to keep right now. And I agree with you, then let's start unloading someone like an Alejandro Kirk or someone else who we may not even know at this moment, because again, you're trying to get better. But I think Gabriel Moreno, he might be sort of like what Vlad Guerrero and Bo Bichette turn into, frankly, right? We don't know yet, but
right,
look at what he did at Arizona Fall League. He's something special and someone to watch going forward.
Well, and Moreno generated, as we've said, a lot of conversation at the general managers meetings, right? That Ross Atkins was getting asked all sorts of questions about Moreno, and there was a lot of excitement and hype over him. I'm sure that other teams would be interested in, you know, involving themselves in some sort of trade that would net them Moreno. I just don't see the Blue Jays doing that at this point. You know, unless the return was something totally crazy. Like I'm not even going to try to manufacture a trade in my head at this point to justify trading Moreno right now. But clearly it does make Kirk somebody that the Jays could trade away. And, you know, I just bring that back again to the fact that he was part of the puzzle for Cleveland to give up Jose Ramirez. Would he still be part of that puzzle? Or could you use him and other pieces to get yourself some other third baseman or a second baseman, somehow start filling in those needs?
We don't have much time, and obviously it's going to be a very busy week. What do you anticipate for this week? I know it's going to be, again, I go back to Jeff Passan's quote, like the next 24 hours are going to be wild. I would caution for Jays fans, like, you know, stuff may happen. Stuff probably is going to happen. But again, if it doesn't happen, there's going to be that other wave, which you mentioned earlier, probably after a new CBA is signed. Obviously, a potential lockout's about to take place. Just your final thoughts, Jen, on what's going to be a wild week in Major League Baseball.
Well, it's going to be really exciting the next couple of days. Everybody likes off-season news, right? This is what fans really enjoy. It generates discussion. It generates excitement and anger and sadness and all of those other emotions that go along with being a sports fan, which, you know, is why people become invested in sports. So I think it'll be really a really fun 48 hours leading up to the expiry of the current CBA. I think that the Blue Jays will be involved in something that gets done over the next 48 hours. They may not be. I think that they will get something done over the next 48 hours. But as I said, and as you just reiterated, there will be a second wave once the new CBA is agreed to. There will be a whole flurry of activity then. If this is exciting right now, that second run at it all will be really exciting as well. So I trust that this front office is going to make really good decisions on behalf of this ball club. That's what I am trusting, that they have values in mind for the players they are targeting. They know what they want to spend on certain players and certain positions. And like I said, they have all of these different scenarios mapped out. So if they don't end up getting something done in the next couple of days, I expect it's because the deal really wasn't there to be made. Ultimately, I think that they are going to add to this team in a manner that will improve them. I do have trust in them in doing that.
No doubt. And it's going to be very exciting. Jen, before we let you go, it's obviously great to chat about this stuff with you. We're going to be, you know, chatting with a lot of different people throughout the week, guests, off-season content, continuing Locked On Jays. Where can people find you on Twitter?
People can find me at @baseball_Jen, and that is Jen with two N's.
That's MLB analyst Jen Smith. All right, everyone, thank you so much for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. Again, we're going to be, you know, a lot of episodes this week. A lot of news going to be coming. It's going to be fast and furious. It's just going to be a fun week for baseball. So stay tuned to those episodes. Now make your second listen Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. Locked On Blue Jays is also free and available on all platforms. So for this episode of Locked On Blue Jays, I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. We will chat again soon.